The Obliterated Man by H.G. Wells. Narrated by James Harrington. You shall hear immediately why I am not now. Egbert Craddock Cummins. The name remains. I'm still, heaven help me, dramatic critic to the fiery cross. What I shall be in a little while I do not know. I write in great trouble and confusion of mind. I will do what I can to make myself clear in the face of terrible difficulties. You must bear with me a little. When a man is rapidly losing his own identity, he naturally finds a difficulty in expressing himself. I will make it perfectly plain in a minute, when once I get my grip upon the story. Let me see. Where am I? I wish I knew. Ah, I have it. Dead self. Egbert Craddock Cummins. In the past, I should have disliked writing anything quite so full of I as this story must be. It is full of eyes before and behind, like the beast in Revelation. The one with a head like a calf, I am afraid. But my tastes have changed since I became a dramatic critic and studied the masters, GAS, GBS, GRS, and the others. Everything has changed since then. At least the story is about myself, so that there is some excuse for me. And it is really not egotism, because, as I say, since those days my identity has undergone an entire alteration. That passed. I was, in those days, rather a nice fellow, rather shy, taste for gray in my clothes, weedy little mustache, face interesting, slight stutter which I had caught in my early life from a schoolfellow. Engaged to a very nice girl, named Delia. Fairly new, she was cigarettes, like me because I was human and original. Considered I was like Lamb, on the strength of the stutter, I believe, father, an eminent authority on postage stamps. She read a great deal in the British Museum. A perfect pairing ground for literary people, that British Museum. You should read George Edgerton and Justin Hintley McCarthy and Gissing and the rest of them. We loved in our intellectual way and shared the brightest hopes. All gone now. And her father liked me because I seemed honestly eager to hear about stamps. She had no mother. Indeed, I had the happiest prospects a young man could have. I never went to theaters in those days. My Aunt Charlotte, before she died, had told me not to. Then Barnaby, the editor of The Fiery Cross, made me, in spite of my spasmodic efforts to escape, dramatic critic. He is a fine, healthy man, Barnaby, with an enormous head of frizzy black hair and a convincing manner, and he caught me on the staircase going to see Wembley. He had been dining and was more than usually buoyant. "Hello, Cummins," he said. "The very man I want." He caught me by the shoulder or the collar or something, ran me up the little passage, and flung me over the waste paper basket into the armchair in his office. "Pray be seated," he said, as he did so. Then he ran across the room and came back with some pink and yellow tickets and pushed them into my hand. "Opera Comique," he said, "Thursday, Friday the Surrey, Saturday the Frivolity. That's all I think. But I began." "Glad you're free," he said, snatching some proofs off the desk and beginning to read. "I don't quite understand," I said. "Hey," he said at the top of his voice, as though he thought I had gone and was startled at my remark. "Do you want me to criticize these plays? Do something with them? Did you think it was a treat? But I can't. Did you call me a fool? Well, I've never been to a theater in my life. Virgin soil. But I don't know anything about it, you know. That's just it. New view. No habits. No cliches in stock. Ours is a live paper, not a bag of tricks. None of your clockwork professional journalism in this office. And I can rely on your integrity. But I've conscientious scruples." He caught me up suddenly and put me outside his door. "Go and talk to Wembley about that," he said. "He'll explain." As I stood perplexed, he opened the door again, said, "I forgot this," thrust a fourth ticket into my hand. It was for that night, in 20 minutes' time, and slammed the door upon me. His expression was quite calm, but I caught his eye. I hate arguments. I decided that I would take his hint and become, to my own destruction, a dramatic critic. I walked slowly down the passage to Wembley. That Barnaby has a remarkable persuasive way. He has made few suggestions during our very pleasant intercourse of 4 years that he has not ultimately won me round to adopting. It may be, of course, that I am of a yielding disposition. Certainly I am too apt to take my color from my circumstances. It is, indeed, to my unfortunate susceptibility to vivid impressions that all my misfortunes are due. I have already alluded to the slight stammer I had acquired from a schoolfellow in my youth. However, this is a digression. I went home in a cab to dress. I will not trouble the reader with my thoughts about the first night audience, strange assembly as it is. Those I